All right. So I have the honor to introduce Mr. Joel Penton to the stage. He's going to give a word and a testimony to us here. And he's also going to be here tonight, right? That's right. So he's actually going to be back here tonight with Fusion and a bunch of other youth groups that are going to be doing. But he's going to give us a word tonight. Let's give it up for Mr. Joel Penton.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you. I come all the way from Ohio, and a little bit about myself. Back in the day, I played a little bit of football for the Ohio State University. Any Buckeye fans? I am. Wow, we have several. It's like everywhere I go, I meet someone here who once lived in Ohio, and I think these are the smart people. They're born in Ohio, which means genetically they're probably smart. But then also, I'm just kidding, but then also they're smart enough to leave that frozen tundra and come down here. This is our, let me set this down. Is this a short podium? It comes up to like my knees. This is our 12th consecutive year coming down here to Fort Walton Beach. 11 years ago, I was fortunate enough to and blessed to receive the Danny Warfel Trophy after playing my senior year at Ohio State. And so, yeah, thank you. Sorry, I'll hold this closer if you want to bring the level down. I know that I was messing with you because I had it too far away. All right, but, you know, and so we come back, and there are, in fact, I saw Mr. Dick Cannon somewhere in the room, and some all-sports guys around here. They always thank us when we come back down, and we're like, why are you thanking us? You know, we live in Ohio, and it's terrible up there right now. So you'll have to change the location of the banquet and not tell us where it is to get us to not come, because we will come every single year. But, no, we're excited to be with you. Had a great week so far. On Tuesday, I spoke at Fort Walton Beach High School. Any Vikes in the room? We have a few. All right. And then on Wednesday, I spoke at Freeport High School. I'm guessing there's nobody here from Freeport. Okay, one. That's great. What are you doing here? I'm glad you're here. And then we have the event tonight, so really excited and grateful. Now, I saw there's some Ohio State fans. You know, we have a big rivalry up in Ohio, and that's Ohio State versus Michigan. We don't have any Michigan fans. Okay. I see there are several Michigan fans. And you know what? We're glad, if you're a Michigan fan, we're glad you're here, because Shalimar UMC is all about seeking the lost. And so you're in the right place, my good sir. But no, really, really excited to be here for a few reasons. I will introduce you to my family. I will share a little bit of my story. I will tell you a little bit about our ministry, what it is we were doing at Fort Walton in Freeport, and I will share a bit from the Word as well, of course. Now, quickly, my family is on the screen. Beside me in the photo is my beautiful wife, Bethany. Then on the left side of the screen is our oldest son, Joel III. He is now 9 years old. On the right side of the screen is our second son, Judah. He is 7. In the middle there on the ground, we make him sit on the ground, is our third son, Luther. Luther's 5. Then on my lap is the certifiably cutest child ever to have been born. That's our only daughter, Vera. And then on Bethany's lap is the newest addition to our family. Vera's 3, and on Bethany's lap is Levi. Levi is about 9 months old now, so 5 children, ages 9 and under. If I look and sound tired, that's why. And so anyway, that's my family. In fact, we were sitting over there. I don't know if Bethany made it back to her seat just yet, but we're all in the building somewhere. Hopefully, we'll be able to find everyone when we're done this morning. So anyway, that's my family. And so again, I'm going to share a bit of my story, but most of all, first and foremost, excited to share with you from the Word of God. So if you have a Bible, grab it and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we will look at verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. I have one. I'll read it out loud. If you do have a Bible and you're having trouble finding it, it's right after chapter 3. That's for the Michigan fans in the room. It's just so easy. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. I'll read it. Here's what it says. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. What I'd like to do this morning is share a bit of my own story and how my story has really come to intersect, if you will, with that passage I just read to you, and how perhaps your life will come to intersect with it as well. I'm from a small town in northwest Ohio, a little town called Van Wert, Ohio. Who has even heard of Van Wert, Ohio? Go Cougars. That's right. Cedar Point is 2 hours away, but it's much closer to Van Wert than here. So we went there every summer. But yeah, Van Wert, Ohio, it's a small town, not a lot of people, a lot of corn, not much to do there except playing sports. I grew up playing all sorts of sports, especially when I turned 9 is when my life changed, because that's when I got to start playing football. I immediately fell in love with football. I can tell you why I love football for one word, in one word, and that is violence. Yes, maybe I shouldn't say that in church, but it's true. As a child, I just loved being a small child, putting on little plastic pads, and then running around as fast as I could, and then just slamming my body into other small children. There's something great about that. I wasn't very good at football. In fact, when I tried out for football at the age of 9, I was actually, the way they did tryouts is they would gather all the kids who were trying out, they'd have them sit down on the grass after they ran through some drills, and the 4 coaches from the 4 teams would just take turns picking kids for their teams. And so as a kid, you got to see when you got picked. And so I got to see that when I was picked, out of like 50 kids, there were only 2 other kids left. So I was picked 3rd from last. Many of those kids were really terrible, but obviously only 2 were worse than me. I wasn't very good, very unathletic, very uncoordinated, but I loved the game of football, and football really became what was most important to me. Like, I thought that if I could just play enough football, make enough tackles, win enough awards, that I would, that would be my ticket to a life of meaning or a life of purpose. However, the more I achieved on the football field, it seemed as though the less football really satisfied my desires for a life of meaning and a life of purpose. I did get to go to Ohio State and did get to win some championships. On my right hand, I'm wearing a ring. This is actually, I have a few different rings. We did win a national championship. This is my Werfel Trophy ring. And I tell you what, if you think it feels good to wear this ring, you're right. It does. But here's what I came to find out, which is really interesting, that as good as it feels to wear this ring, in no way does the feeling I get wearing a piece of jewelry even begin to really satisfy the longings in my heart for meaning and purpose and fulfillment. I only found those desires satisfied in one place, and that is in my relationship with God. It's my relationship with Jesus. And I grew up in a church, a Methodist church, in fact, where I would often hear talk about a relationship with Jesus. But as a kid, that sounded weird because I thought, okay, Jesus is in heaven, I'm on earth, and so if he's up there and I'm down here, that's a really long-distance relationship. You know, that's what I thought. And I thought that because I didn't really have a relationship with God until I was in high school. And really, the youth pastor at my church just explained what it meant to have a relationship with God in a way that made a lot of sense to me. He said, "Joel, the truth is you were meant to have a relationship with God. You were created to have a relationship with God. But the truth is you've messed it up because you've gone your own way, done your own thing. You've lived for yourself instead of God. You've sinned against God, and because of that, the relationship you were supposed to have with him has been destroyed, and you deserve to be apart from God forever in hell. But he continued, he said, but here's the great news. God is so kind, God is so loving, that God himself, about 2,000 years ago, actually stepped out of eternity, stepped into history, became a man on a mission to save you from what you deserve. God came to earth as a man named Jesus, and Jesus did what you could never do. He lived a perfect, sinless life, that even though he was sinless, he then went and died for your sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he was doing that as your substitute, to literally pay the penalty that you deserved. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and he told me, he said, this pastor's name was James, he said, Joel, if you would simply give up living for yourself, turn from yourself and turn to Jesus, if you'd put your trust in Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive you, he will. Because he loves you and he died for you. And when I heard it like that, it was like it finally clicked. Maybe I'd heard it 1,000 times, I don't know, but up to that point, I thought that the way you get to heaven is to earn it. I thought good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell, so try to do a bunch of good stuff and you'll earn your way. But then I realized none of us can earn it because we've all failed. We're all sinners. I needed to turn to Jesus. And so I did that. I was a freshman in high school when I took that step. And I'm telling you, my life totally changed when I came to know Christ. He changed everything about me. And ultimately, he became the source of the meaning and the purpose and the fulfillment that I'd been looking for in the game of football. And so I'll even pause right here to say, you know what? If you're in the room and you would say, you know, I've heard about a relationship with Jesus and it just sounds like church talk, it just sounds like religion, then I'm here to tell you it's not. It's real, and you can really know Jesus if you'll turn to him. And it's my guess that because you're a human, you have those same desires for meaning, for purpose. Those were put in you by God himself. And you're only going to find an answer to those questions in Christ. And I would even challenge you, what would be keeping you from turning to Jesus, even today? And you know, when I turned to Jesus, not only was my life changed because all of a sudden I knew the creator of the universe, but he also, I was not only changed instantaneously, but God also began to work in me to change me, to become more and more like Christ over the course of my life. This is a thing that's true of all Christians, that we grow in our relationship with God. We're sanctified progressively. And a big turning point in my own growth came when I was in high school and I went on a youth mission trip to a place in Tennessee where for an entire week we helped out with local daycare centers. And then every night, the group of us teens from all over the country, really, we would gather at the top of this mountain, this campground, and we would have chapel services where we would sing songs and pray and read the Bible. Well, the last night of the week, the leaders of that camp gathered all of us youth from all over the country into a big room, a room about half this size. And they put us in a big circle so we were all facing one another, and they told us to hold out our hands palms up. And then they went around the room, and in one of our hands, they placed a little golden fish hook pin. And in the other hand, they placed the back to that pin. And then they read to us the passage that I just read to you, where Jesus says, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they challenged us. They said, if you're willing to truly follow Jesus, and in doing so, become a fisher of men, reaching out to others with the gospel for the rest of your life, if you're willing to follow Jesus in that way, go ahead and pin that fish hook onto yourself. Well, I only had to think about that for about 2 seconds. And I thought, oh yeah, that's something I want to do. I want to be a fisher of men. I want my life to count for eternity. And so I got back on the church bus that day, rode up to my hometown of Van Wert, Ohio, got off the bus, and I realized, oh no, what have I done? I've decided to fish for men, but I don't know how to do that. And so I started doing just everything I knew how. I started inviting my friends to go to my church youth group and my church Bible study with me. I got involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at my school, and I started inviting my friends to go to FCA. Then my junior year of high school, I got the scholarship offer to play football at Ohio State. And so all of a sudden, I started getting invitations to go speak at churches and schools, because obviously if you're good at football, you must have some very insightful things to say about life. Those two things always go together. And so I learned to speak in front of groups, and I learned to articulate the gospel to groups, and I fished for men in that way. And then I went to Ohio State in the fall of 2002, and I tell you what, Columbus, Ohio, I don't know if you've ever been to Columbus, Ohio, but people there suffer from a sickness. They are Buckeye crazy. I mean, see, I told you. Yeah, I mean, there's something wrong with it. I mean, the Buckeye mania in Columbus is out of control. And so I started getting so many requests to go speak in the community and churches and organizations and schools. So many requests, I couldn't even begin to fulfill them all. And I had Christian teammates and coaches with similar commitments. But again, so many opportunities. We could only scratch the surface, and so I struggled with this thought that maybe I'm not doing a good job of being a fisher of men, because there's so much potential we're just not tapping into. So right before my senior year, I got together with some of my teammates, and we decided to do something about this. We decided that instead of simply going out into the community to speak as much as we could, that we were actually going to hold our own event. An event that we were going to call the main event, where we would invite the entire community to come hear Ohio State players and coaches talk about Jesus. And so we thought, well, how many people will come to an event like this to hear football players talk about Jesus? Maybe 500, maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000. And so we thought of one good location to hold this on Ohio State's campus, a place called St. John Arena, which is the old basketball arena on campus. And so we as student athletes, we just got the bright idea, you know, we'll just rent out St. John Arena. That's simple. And so I got a personal meeting with the facility manager of that facility. And I remember walking to the guy's office. Again, I'm just a student at the time. And he says, so you want to rent out St. John Arena, huh? I said, yeah, that's right. And he said, well, what do you want to rent it out for? I said, a Christian athlete meeting. Our group is called Athletes in Action. So I said, an Athletes in Action meeting. And he said, well, how many people do you typically get at your Athletes in Action meetings? I said, 40. When really we only got 30, but 40 sounded better at the time. And so anyway, we rented out St. John Arena, pulled out all the stops. We held a press conference. We made promotional materials. 9 of my teammates agreed to speak. The band and the cheerleaders agreed to come. We didn't know what would come of it, but ultimately, my Christian teammates and I wanted to be faithful in being fishers of men. Well, the night of the event came. I remember my teammates and I, we were backstage praying, just hoping some people would show up to hear the gospel. And right before we went out on stage, my wife, Bethany, is she sitting over there, Bethany? There she is. She's waving. Bethany came back. She and I got married when we were in college, and she'd been very instrumental in the whole thing. She comes backstage, and she was trembling. And she said, Joel, it's filling up. Joel, our passions, our dreams are being realized tonight. And so we went out on stage. My teammates did a great job sharing their testimonies, talking about Jesus. I was just the MC that night. I introduced my teammates, kept the evening moving along. I couldn't really see how many people were there because the lights were in my eyes, kind of like they are now. But we were so shocked to find out afterwards that our estimates were wrong. Not 500 people, not 1,000 people came that night, but actually the fire marshal had to close the doors because over 13,000 people packed out that old basketball arena, yeah. To hear some football players talk about Jesus. At the end of the night, I had the honor to share the gospel clearly with the crowd and to challenge people to believe in Jesus. And then we had some college students who passed out cards so people could indicate if they made a decision to trust Christ that evening. Then those college students stayed up all night long entering those cards into a database so that the partnership of churches that we had formed could reach out to those people in the following weeks. Well, again, after they stayed up all night long with many more cards than anticipated, they emailed us. And when my wife received the email, she read it to me, and she and I both began to weep when we got the news that 1,359 people had indicated they'd made a decision to turn to Jesus that previous evening. And I tell you what, when we got that news, we became convinced, not that we are something special, because we know we're not, but we became convinced that if normal people like us from a little town of Van Wert, Ohio, where most of you have never even heard of it, if normal people like the people in this room, if we would be willing to truly follow Jesus, that he is willing and able to do through us things that are above and beyond our wildest dreams. Now, I know it can be easy to sit where you're sitting and to listen to my story about speaking in front of 13,000 as a football player and to think of how you don't relate to that story at all and how different we are, how we have different opportunities, different motivations, just we're so different. And if you're tempted to immediately think in those ways, I would encourage you to go back and look at the passage that we read. And I'll even ask you, does Jesus say, go muster up the motivation, go develop the skill, go seek out the opportunities to become fishers of men? Is that what Jesus says? Not at all. He says something much more comforting, doesn't he? He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is so comforting, that we become fishers of men in primarily the same way that we become Christians. Not because we bring something special to the table. No, to become a Christian, we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I don't have what I need. I don't have any righteousness of my own. Will you give me your righteousness? And Jesus does. And he brings us into his family. And to become fishers of men, we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I've looked in my heart. I don't have what I need. I don't have the love I need for my neighbor. Will you change my heart so that I overflow with love and I share the truth with those around me? Lord, I don't have the eyes to see the opportunities in my life. I don't have the mouth I don't know what to say to reach people with the gospel. Will you change me so that I impact those around me? And Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so my challenge for you this morning, really no matter where you are in your relationship with God, would be to turn to Jesus and to follow Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, today's a great chance. You can turn to him, you can trust him, you can follow him, you can know him. And if you know Jesus and you want to see the world changed, and you look at yourself and you think, I'm not the person, I don't have what I need to change it, Jesus says, I know. Turn to Jesus, follow Jesus, trust Jesus to change you and to make you a fisher of men. That's my challenge. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray for us. And as I'm praying, Joel the third, you can come on up, make your way upstage. And Joel is going to help me as we tell you a little bit about our ministry. You can come up, Joel, as our ministry Stand for Truth. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for this invitation that you not only come to die for us, but then you invite us to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, you couple it with a promise to make us fishers of men. So we give you thanks and we pray you'd make that change this morning in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is my oldest son, Joel III. He is 9 years old, And he's going to help me this morning tell you a little bit about our ministry, which is called Stand for Truth, all right? So here's the way we'll do it. Joel, we put together some of the most frequently asked questions about our ministry. Joel will read the questions. I will give the answers. Now, Joel has recently asked me if he can play a larger role, and so he will not only read the first question, he will also give the first answer. After that, we'll go to the questions and answer format. You ready, Joel? Here we go. First question.
What's your mission field?
Great question, Joel, and I'm glad you phrased it as mission field because we are missionaries. What's the answer, Joel?
Reaching high schools and middle schools, public high schools and middle schools across the United States.
Very good, son. All right, that's question number one. Yes, all right. We got five of these, so just buckle down. All right, so question number one, and now here's question number two. Joel, what is it?
What is the vision of your ministry?
Great question. Well, Joel, our vision is to reach unchurched students with the gospel. We really want to get the gospel to those students who, for whatever reason, aren't in a church like this on a Sunday morning, don't have the opportunity to hear it on a regular basis. And so though you might be wondering, okay, this is 2018. How do public schools and gospel go together? Well, we have a very simple two-step strategy to get the gospel to those unchurched students in public schools. Step number one, as a speaker, I'm invited by schools to speak at school assemblies. Schools will actually put me in front of their entire student body for an hour at a time. I'm not able to share the gospel during the school day because it's a public school, but I talk about character issues, decision making. At the end of the assembly, we have a band that plays a song. We then invite students back to step number two, an evening concert, where students can hear more music, and then I get to share the rest of my story. I share the gospel, and we challenge students to believe in Jesus. We then follow up with those students. Every student that comes to an outreach gets a free copy of my newest book, Seven Lies Almost Every Teen Believes. And then ultimately, it's our goal to get students connected with local churches everywhere we go so they can take that next step and grow together as the family of God. So that's the big picture vision to reach students. Joel, next question.
Is the ministry making an impact on students?
Well, believe it or not, Joel, we would say yes, it is making an impact on students. And to give you, I just gave you the big picture vision. Let me give you an example to kind of illustrate that impact. Not too long ago, we went to a school in Cedar Rapids, Iowa called Prairie High School. And we had that daytime school assembly. We were in front of hundreds of students, and then we invited students back in the evening. And we were really excited that at the concert, 200 students came back that night to hear more, and we did a little survey, and this was exciting to us. 110, so more than half, indicated they were not part of a local church, and that's really the group we're trying to reach. We shared the gospel, so we know that anytime you share God's word, there's an impact. We know there's an immediate impact because 25 students that night indicated to us they took that step for the first time to turn to Jesus, and of those 25, 17 we're in that group that we're not part of a local church. We actually took a photo that night. I'm actually in this photo. I'm the big guy in the middle there. But what we love about this photo is that, 25 of those excited students right there, 25 took that step that night to turn to Jesus, and couldn't be more excited. One student actually sent us a message, had this to say: I have to confess, the day you came to my school, I was like, great, another speaker. Better break out the iPhone. But when I heard you play big-time college football, I was like, maybe this guy is actually cool. So I listened and really enjoyed the speech, and I went to the little gig down at the high school in the evening, and words cannot describe what happened. I gave my life to Jesus, and for the first time in 2 years, I picked up my Bible, blew the dust off, and read it. And so, yeah, that really says it all right there. And in fact, that's the strategy we've been talking about with the daytime school assembly and the evening concert. That's exactly what we did at Fort Walton Beach High School earlier this week, as well as Freeport High School. The assemblies and the concerts were great. One highlight for me in particular, after the Fort Walton Beach High School concert at night, as I was signing books, because everybody gets a free book. I did have a girl come up to me and look me right in the eyes and say, I just want you to know that after tonight, I am going to give a relationship with God a chance based on what I heard here tonight. And so it's really exciting to see God work and use the ministry. All right, question number 4.
How is the ministry funded?
Great question. We get this all the time. How can we possibly afford to be traveling all over the country, giving away free books and things? Well, simply put, our ministry is funded through a consistent financial support team. We, within Stand for Truth, are like most missionaries. We are missionaries in that it's our responsibility to seek out a team of people who not only believe in the vision and want to see the vision become a reality, but also come alongside us and partner with us financially to see that it happened. And it's really that team of people that in many ways enable us to do what we do. I mean, sometimes schools are able to pay a small fee, but for example, this week, both of the local schools here, they didn't pay a dime, you know? And it was through our connections with Michelle. Where's Michelle? Are you still over there, Michelle? There's Michelle. To arrange those assemblies. And so, you know, it's our team of supporters that enables us to go into these schools and impact those students. Great. Next question and last question, Joel.
How can we help?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. That was really nice of you. Well, as a matter of fact, you can help in 2 big ways. Number 1, we would invite you to pray for our ministry. We believe in prayer. I'm sure you do as well. And so we'd ask, would you pray for us? We have a team right now. We have a few different traveling teams. We have a team that's in Illinois right now. We have teams heading all over. Just would you pray that God would be with us to keep us safe, but also that he would open doors spiritually that we would be able to effectively impact students with the gospel. So prayer. And then secondly, as you probably guessed, we would invite you to consider being a part of that financial support team that enables our ministry to happen. We actually have a goal, okay? We're looking to find this year 315 partners giving $20 a month. So 315, whether it's families or individuals, 315 partners giving $20 a month. We've been at it a while, so far we're at about 133. So we're 42% of the way there. But as you can see, we have a ways to go, and we're just really grateful and excited that we would have this opportunity to invite you. Would you consider being a part of this team, giving $20 a month, and in doing so, being a part of Stand for Truth, reaching students with the gospel? You can actually sign up this morning. So here's what we're going to do. We'll make this very quick, very efficient. If the Joy team... Oh, you guys really are joyful. The Joy team could meet me back by that door in, like, right now. You guys can meet me back there, like, right now. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll a video that's going to show you a day in the life of our ministry, okay? I think you'll like it. Check it out. The Joy team is going to pass out cards. Now, if every family, not every individual, just every family, grab a card. Even if you don't want a card, just take one. Pretend like you want one and take one because you'll hurt my feelings if you don't take one. I'm very sensitive. So every family grab a card, but don't put anything on it. Just hold on to it. Check out the video. When the video's over, I'm going to come back up. I need to kind of explain the card to you, okay? So just grab a copy, grab a card as they pass them out. Check out the video. When it's over, I'll come up and explain the card. All right, cool. Let's cue the video.
What makes this ministry so awesome is the fact that they come into the schools to their actual place where they are 8 hours plus a day, and they're bringing the message of Christ to them.
Joel was a member of 3 Big Ten championship teams. He was also a member of 1 national championship team. He has spoken to more than 500 schools and 500,000 people nationwide. Please welcome Joel Pinton.
I was really, and entertaining, and it was funny because he wasn't afraid to be himself, and he wasn't afraid to call people out of the crowd.
Joel's message today was very entertaining, engaging, had the students involved, and the message was really powerful.
The format that they provide of having assembly earlier in the day is just a genius idea because it gets them drawn in. And then later on that evening when they have the concert, it brings these students back. In terms of technology and in terms of media, with lighting, with sound, it's top-notch. Definitely appealing to a generation that's full of technology. If a student comes, they're going to hear the message of Christ plain and clear. It's not a roundabout message, it's not just scratching the surface, it's the real deal.
None of us are good. None of us can earn God's love. We've all messed it up. But that's why Jesus came to earth. And he died for you. He paid the price for your rebellion against him. And he rose from the dead. Did you know he did that? And have you taken the step to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, please save me?
Actually helped a lot.
It was pretty emotional.
He made me view things differently.
It made me think.
Impacting.
Absolutely awesome.
When they go to a school, they are truly presenting the message of Christ, and these kids are hearing it, and many kids are saying yes, that they want Christ as their Savior and Lord.
Me questions all the time. How can I know that Jesus is real? How can I know the Bible is true? I try to answer those questions in the book, so please, if you want to know more, check out the book. If you want to know more about Jesus, find a church and go inside.
If you want an opportunity for your teenagers to be changed, to have a place where they can bring their friends who don't know Christ, to a place where they will hear about Christ, this is the way to do it.
All right, did everybody get a card that needs one? Anyone need one? Raise your hand and we will get you one. All right, I think we're good. Let me quickly explain that card to you, okay? You'll notice there are two main options on the card. The first says, I would like to receive the ministry e-newsletter. If you would like to pray for our ministry, we're really grateful for that. The best way to stay up to date as to our current specific prayer needs is for you to just get the email newsletter. It goes out every other month. Just check that box. Make sure your email is filled out at the bottom, and then you can get updates on what's going on with our ministry as well as some specific ways you can be praying. The second option says, sign me up to join the financial support team. If you're willing to be a part of that team we're putting together, we're really excited, really grateful. What you'll do is you'll check that box, and then you'll check an amount. You'll see there's the $20 partnership, there's even the double or the $60 triple partnership. And if you really want to join the support team and you just can't decide at which level to join, and you want my advice, just go with the triple. That's my advice. You're welcome. Okay, so you'll check an amount, and then just make sure your info is filled out clearly at the bottom. Now, the way we do it with Stand for Truth to keep things efficient and secure is that you'll simply, along with your card, attach a voided check, and then on the 20th of each month, your donation will be automatically transferred to the ministry. And if you ever want to change the amount or cancel the donation, it's very simple. Just contact us, and we'll change it or cancel it. Now, if you're like me, and you don't carry your checkbook around with you, I totally understand. That's okay. Here's what we're doing. We have a table set up right over there. Bethany and I are going to be at a table over by that divider thing. And however you fill out your card, fill it out, and then you'll bring it to us. And if you're signing up to join the support team, I forgot to mention this, we want to give you something just to say thanks. I want to give you a copy of my newest book, Seven Lies Almost Every Teen Believes. This is the book we give to students at our outreaches. Maybe there's a student in your life you can give it to. So you'll hand us the card, and we'll give you a book. And if you don't have your checkbook with you, if you don't have a voided check, that's okay. Still fill out the card and hand us the card. And when we give you the book, as well as some other information, we'll give you an envelope, a self-addressed and stamped envelope, so you can send that in when you get a chance. Now, if you really want to support the ministry, but you just can't do the monthly thing, and you want to make a one-time donation, we can accept those as well over at the table. But we really are looking to build that monthly team. The last thing I want to say is that this would be in no way to come in the place of your giving to this, your local church, okay? This would only be a totally separate, above and beyond type of thing. I want to make sure that's clear. I know that's a lot of information. It's really fast. Again, Bethany and I and our kids are going to be over at the table. No matter how you fill out your card, bring it on over. We'd love to meet you and answer any questions you have. Let me pray for us, and then we will get out of here, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the church that we can gather and we can worship. We can focus on you. And Lord, we can open your word and be changed by it. And Lord, we can talk about and make plans even to change the world. And so we're so grateful. And Lord, I pray for these, your people. I pray for us that our hearts would truly be changed to be more and more like your own. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. We'll see you over at the table. Have a great day.